As well. God, we just thank you that you are the God who cares for our every need, and you care for us more than we can care for ourselves. We know especially that we've continued to hold up Jim and Carolyn to you. Lord, they have entrusted their lives to you. They have given you everything that they are and have, and for whatever continued reasons, Lord, they're continuing in this physical battle. So, Father, we pray right now for the doctors who are helping Jim. We're thankful that his heart continues to be strong. But, Lord, we ask that whatever it is that's causing the problems in his intestine or wherever else, that, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the touch of God and the healing hands of doctors, that right this moment that it would be healed. We ask for the healing power of God that many would see it and fear and trust in the Lord. We know that that's Jim and Carolyn's desire, and Lord, we know that their suffering and difficulty is for a greater purpose, much greater than they realize or any of us realize. I pray that you would accomplish your work in them even now. And regardless of our heart attitude and sometimes fears and anguish, not only just for Jim and Carolyn's life, but for every man in here who has a need today, may each of us trust and know that God is here in our midst. He desires to meet our need, sometimes not in the way that we perceive that our need should be met. But Lord, you are here. God, meet our need through Pastor Paul right now. God, use in a powerful way to touch each of our hearts and to motivate us to righteousness in our living, in our response, and in the kind of men and friends that we are. Oh God, we pray that you'd use him right now in each of our hearts, and our hearts to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good afternoon, guys. Let's just take a moment. I know we're way beyond because of all the announcements, but I think it's apropos. I'm talking about friendship. Go and connect with at least one other guy that you don't know and talk to right now. Just say hi. Maybe a friendship in the future. Just a comment to you guys before we get started. On the back of the outline today, the application area, are the points that I'm going to make. So it's on the back instead of the front of your outline. Jay Kessler, former president of Taylor University, Dr. Jay Kessler, has written many books, but one of the books that he's written is entitled Being Holy, Being Human. And he wrote this in that book. One of my goals in life is to wind up with 8 men who are willing to carry one of my handles. Think about it, guys. Think about it. I believe that our friendships are more forged than they are just simply formed. And many times I think it comes through adversity, pain, trials, difficulties, temptations, struggles that we go through. The Bible says there's a friend who pretends to be a friend, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend loves at all times, it says in Proverbs 17:17. Samuel Coleridge wrote a poem entitled Youth and Age, and with that he wrote a line that has become very popular, "Friendship is a sheltering tree." What a beautiful word picture that Coleridge paints. Friends are those whose lives are like branches. They provide shade. They provide refuge from the demanding, irritating, and searing rays of the hot sun. You can find comfort by them. You can find strength near them. They are tree-like in that they bear fruit that provides nourishment and encouragement. Isn't it interesting that when someone or something occurs in your life and you are alone, what's the first thing you want to do? Pick up the phone and call your friend and share that with that person. Few things are more lonely than going through a sudden test or joy and having no friend to call to share it with. How many of you guys read Tony Dungy's first book? Did you realize he has a second book that just came out? And he's on a tour and he's promoting that book. It's called Uncommon, and I picked a copy up last week. In chapter 8, he has a whole chapter dealing with friendship. I found it very insightful. Let me share a little bit of what Tony Dungy says. Choose your friends for the sake of friendship. Isn't that profound? Choose your friends for the sake of friendship. It seems like such an obvious statement, but my parents used to say it to us all the time. Don't choose friends because they are popular or because they're good-looking or because they are rich or athletic. Choose your friends because you enjoy them and because they are good people. That is profound. I still miss Jamie, my son. I'm sure I always will. One of the best lessons Jamie taught me had to do with choosing friends. He was never concerned with a person's status. In fact, the lesser someone's status, the better chance that person had of hanging out with Jamie and being brought home. The best way to become Jamie's friend was to look like you needed a friend. Similarly, when it came to choosing my friends, my parents encouraged me to hang around people who had inner cores that would build me up. I still look for this today. Friends who were raised to share the same values my parents were trying to instill in me. Friends who will reinforce those values when I am with them. At the same time, my parents discouraged me from hanging around people who didn't share our values. I knew I should be friendly to them, but I shouldn't be friends with them. There's a distinct difference, because I think our friends influence us very greatly in how we encounter them and how they encounter us. In the book, Patrick Morley states this: most men have a friendship deficit. You're going to be discussing that at your tables today. Most men have a friendship deficit. Bum Phillips, the old coach from the Houston Oilers way back when, during my time, said his best friends were horses because they couldn't talk back to him. Do you have a friend you can talk to, confide in, share with, let your hair down if you have hair, with, open up with, be transparent to, share the deepest secrets of your life with? Do you? Do you have that kind of friend? I pray that you do, guys. Now, I just want to focus on two things: the risks of friendship and the problems that I think we struggle with as men, and also the rewards of friendship and the potential that's there in cultivating and developing friendships. First, the risk, the problems. There's three things I see that a lot of men struggle with, and some of this stuff's not in the book. So if you read the book, this is not in the book, this is me sharing with you from gleaning my experience of dealing with people and sharing with people in my own life and developing friendships that have become important to me. The first struggle I think that most men have is that we cover up rather than open up. We cover up rather than open up. John shared with us last week concerning marriage and the importance of marriage, and he quoted some verses in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24, 25. A man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were naked, and they were not ashamed. Now, the word naked is an interesting word there in the Hebrew. It means open, transparent, communicative. It means we don't hide anything, conceal anything, cover up anything. They were totally not just physically naked, they were open in every way, Adam and Eve, with each other in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, when sin came into the picture and the serpent beguiled them and they fell and they ate the fruit, you know the story, I don't need to repeat it to you. What's the first thing they did? They realized that they were naked and they started hiding, covering up, concealing. As a matter of fact, it says at least three times they realized when God was walking in the cool of the morning, they realized that they were naked and they started covering up, concealing, hiding from each other and hiding from the Lord. And the Lord asked them a question: where are you? As if he didn't know. As if he didn't realize where they were in the garden. The thing is, the point I want to make is, guys, we are still in the cover-up hiding business today of concealing the deepest things of our life. And that's as a result of sin. We live in a fallen, broken world. And we don't want to open ourselves up and become vulnerable, transparent with another guy for fear that it's going to come back to bite us. Isn't that true? It's true. Very, very true. Second thing that we struggle with is surface rather than substance in our relationship. Sometimes, don't you like conversation? Well, how are you doing today, Joe? I'm fine. How are you? Well, what's happening in your world? And then you get talking about sports and weather and everything else. But we never get beyond the surface to the substance of what's really happening in the core of our lives, do we? Really? And it's all this surfacey stuff. And I know that you're saying to yourself, but we've got to be guarded because we don't want to spill our guts to certain people because we may not trust that person. And really, friendship involves trust, doesn't it? That's the bottom line. It involves us opening up to those people that we implicitly trust. Did you ever realize that Jesus had circles of friendship? Alan Lloyd McGinnis, in his book, The Friendship Factor, points out that Jesus himself, the Master, our Lord, our Savior, even had concentric circles of friendships too. You start with a multitude like the feeding of the 5,000 that says there's 5,000 men there, but in all likelihood, when you bring the women and children, it's probably 15, 20,000. He dealt with the multitudes, didn't he? Then there were the crowds that he ministered to. Whenever he was at the seaside or mountaintop or wherever he was, there were crowds that gathered to follow him. Then there were the 70 that he sent out and commissioned two by two. Then there were the 12. And even within the group of the disciples, there were three groups of four. And the most intimate four were who? Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And of those four, who do you think he was most intimate with? Probably John, the beloved disciple. Even though Peter was the foremost, the lead disciple, I think he was most intimate with John. And John, in his gospel, even recounts and says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So even our Lord had an intimate circle of people that he related to, and I recognize that we do as men as well. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I've often maintained this, guys, and I believe this with my heart. Your real friends, your true friends, do not need an explanation. Your enemies will never understand. Your friends do not need a long, deep explanation. Your enemies and those people who really are pretend friends will never understand. They don't care about you. Your true friends will go to bat for you. They will risk their very lives for you. They will go to the very end, to the utmost, because they care about you in a very special way. The third thing we struggle with is relationship versus rejection. I meet a lot of men that are very lonely. I met a man in the Y last week here, down in the men's fitness center, who came up to me and volunteered a lot of stuff about his life to me. I didn't enlist that or seek that or ask for that, but he just came up and talked to me and shared with me how lonely he is. Been divorced almost 20 years, and he's just lonely. He needs a friend. And he said, you know, I don't want to do the bar scene, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to go out there, and, you know, I want to try to find companionship, but I don't want to do it in all the wrong ways and all the wrong places. And that's a problem. That's a problem in our society today. So I suggest he start going to church on a regular basis, and maybe the Lord would lead him in that regard. Relationships. You ever felt betrayed by a friend? You ever been stabbed in the back by someone? See, we fear that, guys. Let's be honest. Let's get real here. We fear being stabbed by someone that we have trusted implicitly, that we have borne our soul to. Julius Caesar trusted Marcus Junius Brutus. He shared the very deepest things of his life with that man. And as usual, on the Ides of March 44 B.C., Caesar entered the Roman Senate only to find his assassins there on that particular day. He tried to fight off these people that were trying to kill him. And finally, when he saw Brutus, his dear, trusted, intimate friend, coming to him from a distance with a dagger in his hand, he literally took his robe and flung it over his face and said those very infamous words, "Et tu, Brute? You too, Brutus? You're part of this whole scheme, this whole plan to kill me?" And went down to his very death. Ever been stabbed by someone you trusted as a friend? Ever had a Brutus do that to you? Real friend, someone said to me recently, stab us in the front, not the back. I'm not sure any of us really want to be stabbed, period. Benjamin Franklin stated, three people can keep a secret as long as two of them are dead. King David even had here's the king of Israel, and this guy even had people that he befriended who turned around and stabbed him. In Psalm 55, 12 to 14, I'm going to read this out of the Message, and I know some of you guys have a problem with the Message translation, but I think it says it, and it says it very clearly and very candidly. This isn't the neighborhood bully mocking me. I could take that. This isn't a foreign devil spitting invective. I could tune that out. It's you. We grew up together. You, my best friend. Those long hours of leisure as we walked arm in arm, God, a third party to our conversation. It's you. David couldn't believe that one of his trusted best friends was doing the very thing to harm him, hurt him. He never anticipated that happening. You ever been disenchanted with people? You ever get turned off with people? And because you've been stabbed or had a previously bad experience, you've not trusted people? Went through a bad time personally about a year, year and a half ago, and I became very disenchanted with people. Very disenchanted with people. And I heard a talk because we were going through the book. This is how God works. We were going through the book of Proverbs for a year and taking a chapter at a time. And the speaker, and I can't remember who the speaker was that day, but it was like God was speaking through the speaker to me. And in Proverbs 16, verse 20, it says this, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And God had to refocus me, help me reprioritize my love for Him first. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Have you been forsaken? Have you been abandoned? Have you been neglected by some that you counted as your friends? Let me tell you guys, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus Christ. There have been times, guys, I have been prostrate on my face, tears running down my eyes, and I've been praying and pleading to God that He would be with me and help me through some trials and adversities in my life. Let me tell you, when everyone else abandons you, forsakes you, neglects you, there is one I can testify today who will never, ever abandon you, forsake you, turn his back on you, and leave you high and dry, and that man is Jesus Christ. He's with you, guys. Let me tell you, everyone else can flee, but he'll never flee. Now, what are some of the rewards of friendship? What's the potential? The price of friendship is vulnerability. Getting back to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. And that's what's hard for us, guys, to open up, to bear our soul, to build relationships. And I think it takes time. I don't think friendships happen quickly. See, in our instantaneous society, we want it to happen this quick, don't we? We want to build friendships and relationships. It doesn't happen that way. And many times I think it takes adversity and pain and trials to build and forge a relationship. See, we have two options. We either can get real or we can get so busy that we don't have time for people. What's your option, guys? You want to get real? Develop relationships, friendships. One of the things the banquet talks about is developing small groups and having accountability groups and meeting with men, men sharing with other men, doing Bible study and sharing with each other. See, we devote ourselves to that which we find priority in our lives. What are some of the things that we can benefit? A friend is there when you need him. A friend is there when you need that person. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is. That person is there for you regardless of whatever's going on in your life. You will drop for your friend. You will go to minister to your friend and be there for that friend. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 12 says two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. Isn't that true? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Secondly, a friend keeps us on track. Proverbs 27:6-9 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel." There are two guys in this room that I count, and I have a lot of friends in this room, but there's two guys in this room that I really count as dear friends that I can bear my soul with, that I can open up my heart to, that I can share my life with. And those guys, and they know who they are, have been with me through thick and thin, and they've been there for me when I needed them. They showed up. That's a true friend. Let me tell you, that is a true friend. A true friend keeps us on track. Thirdly, a friend helps us to crystallize our thinking. Sometimes we need a sounding board. Now, I will tell you, my best friend is my wife. And if you guys are married or you have a relationship with someone, I pray that that person is your best friend. If not, you got some issues, guys. Let me tell you, you need some help. Because there's a lot of people that are in marriage relationships where their spouse is not their best friend. That's wrong. That is biblically wrong, let me tell you. And you guys, if you have that problem, if you have an issue with your spouse, and instead of growing closer together, you've grown apart and you've split, you need to work on that and deal with that. Your wife should be your best friend. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Finally, a friend will listen. Sometimes, you know, we're fixers, aren't we, guys? We want to fix everything. We want to solve everything. We want to resolve everything. But let me tell you, sometimes you just need another guy to bear your soul to. You don't need somebody to fix it. You just need somebody to listen to you. You need to blow smoke, blow steam, get it off your chest, share what's in your heart, share what's in your life. Am I the only one that needs that, or do you guys need that? Anybody else need that? Thank you, Dave. I see your hand. Hallelujah. I think we all need that from time to time. We just need to be able to share and ventilate and get things off our chest that's bothering us. A real friend will listen. A real friend we can share our soul with. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." I want to close with this story. It was World War II, and this group was in a foxhole, and the man who was in the foxhole next to his sergeant saw his friend out there on the front line, and he was very critically wounded. And he desperately wanted to go and help that man who had fallen in battle, who had been shot very critically and was bleeding profusely. And as soon as he tried to get out of the foxhole, the sergeant pulled him back and said, "There's no way. You're risking your life. The man's already on the way to dying. What can you do to help that man? There's nothing you can do. It's a done deal. He's a goner." In the next minute, the sergeant turned his back and that man shot out of that foxhole and he went out there to rescue his friend. Being mortally wounded himself and carrying the lifeless body of his friend back to that foxhole, the sergeant said to him, almost with great respect and reverence, yet said to him with a smirk on his face, "See, I told you that if you went to retrieve that guy, you'd get killed as well. Look at you, you're mortally wounded. You're in the process of dying." He said, "It was all a waste of time." He said, "Oh no, it wasn't, Sarge." He said, "The last thing that man, my friend, said to me is, 'Jim, I knew you'd come. Jim, I knew you'd come.'" Guys, do you have a friend like that? That would risk his very life for you and put his life on the line for you? I pray that as we have the discussions around the table, that God will really speak to us today about developing, cultivating, forging real friendships. Father, help these men. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them. This is a real struggle for all of us, Lord. It really is. Becoming vulnerable, opening up, bearing our heart and soul. But Father, you've designed us, you've fashioned us. We need one another. Help us, Lord. Help the table leaders. as they discuss with the men around the tables, give them insight, give them wisdom. Holy Spirit, you just take over, I pray. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.